want to do when they want to do it. And I have been guilty of that myself. And there are things that I wish in my, even in my own kid raising career that I've had the last 13 years, there's been things that I wish I would have done differently. And it's hard to get a hold of. But I'm going to ask parents that, you know, if you've got a kid, when they get here in this church building, ask them if they need to go to the bathroom. Ask them if there's anything they need to take care of. Now, I know that may sound piddly, and you won't hear that in a lot of churches, but I'm not a lot of churches, and this isn't, we haven't made our living off of being like everybody else, and I don't quite frankly want to be like everybody else. I want to be somewhere that God can be proud of, that we take honor in all of that stuff, and I am just, I'm in a season where I'm letting God stretch me in some areas where it's very uncomfortable for me, and I'm just interested in growth. I want people to grow. I want to grow. I want the congregation. It makes no difference if every seat in this place is filled and then only a fourth of us go to heaven. That's not very good. And so the goal is never to fill the pew. It's to fill heaven. And so one of my biggest points that I always say is that you can hang on every word that's in the Word of God. You can hang on it, and you can build your life on it. And I used to think that reading the Bible was the most boring thing ever. I mean, it used to just be so boring. I used to just hate it. We woke up every day in my childhood, and we had Bible study, and I cherish those moments now as an adult. But as a kid, I didn't really see a point in it. And several years ago, I don't know what shifted inside of me, but I came to a place where I was desperate for answers. And then when I went to God's Word in desperation, the Word of God came alive to me, and God has proven to be so faithful. And one of the ways that we see God's faithfulness is when we live out the Word. You know, if you will get into the Word will get inside of you, and it will begin to change you literally from the inside out. And so go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. And some of this is going to be in addition to my message this morning about quitting. And 2 Timothy was written by Paul while he was in prison for the second time. And it's like I said this morning, you know, any time that you decide that you're going to follow Christ, there's going to be an amount of suffering for Christ that you're going to do. Any time that you decide to be an actual believer and a saved person, there's going to be an amount of hardship that you're going to go through. And we shouldn't get mad at God. We shouldn't wonder, well, why is this happening to me? You know what? It's a part of life. It's a part of living. If you've lived any amount of time, you know that there's just going to be hardship. And God told us that that would happen. And so we shouldn't think it's strange. We should just know this is what life is down here. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to begin to just pull things out of the Word of God. And these are life lessons that I want to teach our youth, that I want to reaffirm in the hearts of adults here, because there's times where we lose track of just things that we should know. And so it says here in verse 1, and this is Paul, and he's writing a letter to Timothy, and Timothy was somebody that Paul just really, really loved. There was a deep love there. It says that, you know, he loved Timothy like Timothy was a son to him. He really loved him. And it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Being a believer isn't something that's just it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing, and it's an everyday walk with him. And here's Paul, and he says, I give you this task. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. You could also say, when you don't feel like it, do it anyways. Do it anyways. There's things that in our life God is going to require of us, and we are not going to feel like it. And it doesn't really matter what we feel like. We don't go off of what we feel. We go off of the Word of God, because if we went by how we felt all the time, we would never do anything, because we'd get 5 minutes into one thing and we'd feel another thing, and we'd go the opposite way for the next 5 minutes, and all we'd do is just quit every 5 minutes. I don't have the same feelings about a topic. A lot of times, my opinion sometimes, Miss Brenda, changes. There's one day I'll feel one way about something, and the next day I may feel another. And you know what? Thank God I don't go off of the way I feel. We can't afford to go off of how we feel. The word be instant, in season and out of season. Here's a part where people don't understand. It says here, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. We see this all over. Here's what I can tell you. I've been in the ministry my entire life. And you are not going to always like what your pastor has to say. That is just how it is. You are not going to always agree with what your pastor says. I can just tell you that. There are times that your pastor may not be right. I can just tell you that. We are people. I guarantee you, if you get me and Dad in a bad mood, I know we probably both try to stay out of the public when we're having a bad day, because we're not very good fakers. But at the end of the day, we are really just people, just like everybody else. And people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear, I believe that a lot of people, they claim to be believers, but when it really comes down to wanting to hear truth, a lot of people don't want to hear truth, because truth will make you change. Truth requires change. When you see truth in the Word of God, then that allows the Holy Spirit to come in and convict you of what you know is not right. I have seen just in the past year where people hate the truth. They hate it. And I would encourage our youth, and I would encourage every adult, be a lover of truth. Be a lover of truth. The truth is not going to always be pretty. The truth and the right thing is not going to always be easy. It's probably going to be harder than just doing what you want to do. I mean, we're going to keep this real. The easiest thing to do is most of the time not the right thing to do. It's hard to do the right thing. My goal is, as the pastor, to develop a certain type of person. It will do us no good if we're all just a bunch of fakers in this room and we're faking everything. That's not good. I want to develop people that, you know what, you can say, God, come in here and change me. Lord, direct me. God, correct me. God, guide me. Lord, if there's something that I'm doing that's offending you, God, point it out to me. be a lover of truth. And it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Keep your head in all situations. What does that mean? Keep your good senses about you. We see all over where people are just losing their mind. They're just giving it to each other, left and right, being awful to people, being awful to one another, being hateful to one another. Keep your good senses about you. Keep your head in all situations. That is something that I have really struggled with here lately. It is not easy to keep your head in all situations, because the moment that the devil finds a place where you're tender, that's where he's going to hit. How many of you love going to the dentist? Dear Ma, oh, I hate going to the dentist so much that I don't even like to drive past there. That's how much I hate it. Now, I have a new dentist that I love, but that doesn't mean I want to see him hardly ever. I don't. I like him, but I don't want to see him. But what happens at the dentist is if you go in there and you say, I'm having a toothache, a lot of times, here's what I've noticed about toothaches. A lot of times if you've got a toothache, you're confused about which tooth it may be sometimes. Because eventually, just your whole head is going to hurt. And I've gotten in there before and I've said, you know what? Check all the teeth, because you know what? It could be all of them. That's how I feel. I feel like it's in my whole, my every tooth in my head's hurting, because there's one tooth and it's acting up and I'm not sure which one it is at this point, but check them all. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to get in there and they're going to bang around. And then they're going to see when you jump the highest out of the chair. And they're going to know when they hit a nerve. And that, to me, is how the devil is. And no, I'm not calling my new dentist the devil. But I'm saying the devil will figure out your most tender spot, and he will hit that spot. And he will hit it over and over and over till that place wears you down, and you have a kind of like an open fence in that part of your life. For many of us, it's our family. It's the people that we love the most. For me, it's many times my pastorship. I take it too personal. We need to allow people to be people, knowing that God is going to be God. If you can let God be God, you can certainly let people be people, because God will take care of whatever's coming up against you. But you need to be instant, in season, and out of season. You need to keep your good senses. I have prayed so many nights here lately, God, help me get better at my bad days. I mean, you've had a cluster of just seems like some bad days here lately. And when you go to bed at night, when I go to bed at night, Joe, I'm not super thrilled about how I handled those bad days. I want to get better at handling them. I want to let things not get to me so much. How many of you, there's just certain things that they just get under your skin, and when they're under your skin, it's just like they're stuck in your craw, and you just can't get them out. And you walk around frustrated and irritated. I will keep it real with you. I am that way more times than I should be. And I'm trying to correct that. And Jill, here's what has happened. The more I try to correct it, the more it's coming up. Why? Because God doesn't need any hot-headed pastors. What he needs is people to be cool-headed. I'm not the most cool-headed person I know. I've got genetics going up against me with that. Frank always says, boy, that hot-blooded Italian woman is coming out. And I'm trying to stuff her back in, and she's just coming out. Let's keep on. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. At the end of life, what is the most important thing is that you finished your race, and you did it for the Lord. You finished. I encourage people to finish what you start. Finish it. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Verse 9. This is what I love about the Bible. And if you can get God to shed some light, and if you can slow down in your reading, you can catch things that you would never catch if you were just reading to be reading. I stopped reading to be reading a long time ago because it wasn't doing me any good. When we were kids, we had Bible study, and we would read about 3 or 4 Bible verses, and Dad would ask us. He'd ask us like 3 questions. This was at like 5:30 in the morning, okay? I'm not a morning person. I'm a mid-morning person. He would ask us about 3 questions about these Bible verses. Sherry, very seldom was I able to answer them questions on the first go. He'd ask me something. And we're talking a matter of just 3 or 4 verses, okay? He'd ask me. I would have no clue. I'd have to read it again. Joe, if we pronounced something wrong, we had to read it again. One time, I was reading, and I don't even know where we were reading, but it said that they were filled with indignation. Well, I said they were all filled with indigestion. And Dad was trying to get me to pay attention to what I was reading. Melissa, he had me repeat that so many times, and I kept saying indigestion. And finally, Casey goes, you idiot, it's indignation. I mean, Kimber, we got to stop reading the Bible just to be reading. But what we got to do is say, God, open up my understanding. Help me to be a lover of your word. Because I'm going to tell you something, more than anything else, Melissa, more than anything else, it has been the word of God that has kept me. It has been the word of God that has kept the ministry, that has kept my family all these years. The word. Every time that I've gone through periods of time where I felt everything was going to be a disaster, I referred back to the word when it said everything's going to be fine. Everything will work out for the good of those that love God. When you are in a bind, when you are in hard places in your life, if you will go back to God's word and what he said, that's what you need. If you call up 10 people, you're going to get 10 different advices. If you go to 10 doctors, you're going to get 10 different prognoses. That's just how it is. So it says here, now here's Paul. He's in prison. do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Now, the way that some of these authors say things, Melissa, it gives us an insight to what they felt when they were going through this. And here's what he says. Get up there for me, guys. Just verse 9 and 10. 9 and 10. Do your best to come to me quickly. He was worn out. What was he worn out from? Doing what God had for him to do. It landed him in prison for the second time. And he's saying, get here quick. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. What is he saying here? This person that was supposed to be with me, they've left. And it was in my message for this morning, and I didn't get to it, and I've learned to just not rush through the message. I can preach it in the night service if I need to. This little thing that's buried here explains that sometimes people are going to quit you. I preached this morning, don't be a quitter. Now, there are times in life, I can say this to our youth, and every adult in this place has felt the hurt of this particular topic, but there are times where you're going to feel and you're going to experience that somebody has quit on you. And it is not pleasant. But I can tell you that you will go through that. You probably already have. And you know what? Let them. Let them. Let them do it. Let them do it. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left you, that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, and especially the parchments. I grew up on this next verse, and I never understood it in its entirety until I became a pastor. But I heard my dad say it over and over and over. Verse 14, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. There are folks that have probably done you a great deal of harm in some way in your life. You're probably picturing those people right now in your head. Jill, this is something that I wrestle with every day, and this is something that I have to wrestle to the ground every day. And I struggle with it. I battle with it. Sometimes it gets the better of me. And if I can just be real with it, y'all can be real with it. Don't expect you out of people. You will come up disappointed. I'm not trying to preach to the youth doom and gloom, but what I'm trying to do is to get you to understand reality. Understand that people are going to let you down, and you are going to let people down, and that is a part of being on this planet. It's not easy to take. Most of the wounds that we have in our emotions came from those that we loved the most. Those that have harmed us the most, what we have got to be able to come to a place is to say, yes, that person did me wrong. Yes, that person hurt me. Yes. That over there hurt my family. That hurt my kid. That did this. That did that. And we end it right there. It's okay to acknowledge what someone did. But what it's not okay to do is let it fester and get up inside of you to where it's got a hold of you and make you a bitter old bat. How many of you don't need any help getting mad. If you think about the right thing, you can get mad all on your own. Amen. You know what that's a sign of? And I hate to say it, and I'm going to put myself out there first. Melissa, I must be some kind of crazy psycho because there are days, for whatever reason, I go there mentally. And Joe, I don't know why. I don't know why I get myself going, but it's like if there's a certain mood that I may get in and I will replay things that people have done and I will get myself up in a bad mood. Now, I'm not going to take a poll and ask y'all if y'all do that too because look here, you are breathing and I know that's what happens. Kids, it happens with y'all too. That's a part of humanity. But let me explain something to you that the Lord has had to minister to me. Whatever that is that you replay in your mind, it's still there. You've got to get that forgiveness. You got to give it. You got to be able to give forgiveness. You got to be able to receive forgiveness. If you're still replaying something in your brain, you haven't completely forgiven it. Why? Because you haven't let it go. You're still nursing it. You're still resuscitating it. You're still allowing it to have life. Paul, he ended it right here. He said, yes, that person did a great deal of damage to me. God will repay. What is he saying? I'm not going to worry about it. That is now God's problem. God's problem. Can you get to that place where you say, yeah, that person did that. God will take care of that. I'm going to leave it at that. And you go on and you live your life and you have joy in your life. The devil does not want you happy. The devil does not want you whole. The devil does not want you mentally healthy. He wants to eat you up from the inside out thinking about what people have done to you. I could preach this till the cows come home because I have to literally make myself come up into line with the Word of God every day about this very topic. It's not easy to just say, well, God will deal with him. You know why it's not easy to just say that? Because there's a part of us where we still want to deal with them. Anybody sit around? Now, we are going to take an honesty poll. We're not voting tonight, but we're going to take an honesty poll. On some of my really bad days, I'll sit there and I'll think, I would like to do this, 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 and this. Here's what they said. And you know what? If I had them face to face, here is what I would say. I got Frank the other day. Frank likes to go outside away from me and be in the nature. And look here, when I'm psycho, in the psycho mood, I ain't letting him go nowhere because I'm going to tag along and interfere with his mental health a little. And I was like, we live in a double wide trailer. It's not that big. And I was searching everywhere. Where is Frank? He was outside under the pavilion enjoying his mental health. Brenda, I got my chair and I moved it right in front of him. And I said, you're just going to have to hear this because I'm having trouble right now letting this go. And I said, you know what I would say to this person if they were right in front of me? And I got nose to nose with them and I just started having diarrhea of the mouth. Poor Frank. Don't we all do this, though? Who cares what we would say to their face? Who cares that we would be exactly right on? Because the truth of the matter is, would it change anything? No. No, it wouldn't. Because at the end of the day, we can't make people see it any other way than what they see it. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. One of the things that will set you up for absolute success, kids, and even adults, let's start living this way. Don't put yourself in that place where you feel like you have to do all the repaying. If you live by that code where you think you have to repay everything, that's all you'll do. That's all you'll do. And you'll get so consumed with paying people back, giving them what they deserve. Here's what I know. I am so thankful to serve a God that doesn't give me what I deserve. I think of me at my very worst, and I'm thankful that he didn't just say, I'm going to give you what you deserve. A long time ago, I was with my nephew, Riley. And Riley is a funny little kid. And he said something. Gosh, he was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And he's always been so cute and little. And he was very upset about something. I don't even remember what we were doing, Jill. But he goes, he was crying. And somebody had really ticked this little boy off. And he said, Aunt Kelly, people are just the worst. And he started crying. And I have thought about that so many times. Because there's nothing worse than a hurting heart. And the truth of the matter is, there's just going to be people, you're going to have to let them be who they are. And let it sit like that. And just say, you know what? God will fight every battle. He will take care of it. He will right a wrong if it was truly wrong. You know, there's been people that I thought wronged me, Jill, but when I realized the whole situation in its entirety, it wasn't like I thought. It wasn't like I thought. And it says, you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now here's Paul. In verse 16 it says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. I think that we need to prepare people that we're raising to go through these moments where we are alone, where we feel alone, where we feel like everybody has left. Has every adult in here, have you not had that moment where you felt like, and it was probably a reality, everybody left you? Have you not felt that? Here's what I can tell you about those moments. I thank God for those moments. Because here's what happened in the middle of all of that. God showed up and he showed me who he really was when I felt like everyone left. I was talking to my sister the other day, and I was just having a pity party. And there ain't nobody like a big sister. And I just sat on her couch. And I just had the biggest old pity party I could possibly conjure up. But one of the things I said was this right here. Casey, I've had those moments where everybody left. And I felt God say, Kelly, I didn't leave. I don't want to produce people that don't have a good touch on reality. What I can tell all you kids, and I'm not just losing my marbles, I'm very concerned about this generation. Because they don't seem like they have a real good touch on reality. I mean, we're teaching kids they can be cats, and that's okay. Let me tell you something, that is not okay. I said that's not okay. If we're letting people think they can be whatever, they're going to have a real hard time when life gets rough. Here's what Paul said. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Can you get to that place in your life where you can honestly say, Lord, whatever this person has done to me, don't hold it against them. Don't hold it against them. Here's what I know about myself, Melissa. I'm a big talker. I'm a big talker. I will tell Frank what I'm going to do, knowing full well I ain't going to do none of it. Because I'm going to lose my steam right after the thought. The other day I told him I'm going to clean. And he started talking to me. I said, you're going to have to be quiet because this ambition is going to leave very soon. You either want me to clean or you want me to talk. And I am not going to be able to do both. And I can tell you that my ambition for cleaning is going to last about 10 minutes. He said, clean. Go ahead and clean. How many of you love cleaning? I don't like cleaning. Don't like it? I'm learning how to be better at it. May it not be held against them. One of our famous verses that we like to say and repeat during a wedding is, love keeps no record of wrongs. And very few people live that way. If you're keeping up with all of the wrongs that people have done to you, you are going to be worn out. Worn out. And I don't know about y'all. I'd just assume somebody be mean to me than be mean to somebody that I love. I have trouble acting right to people that's hurt people I love. And I know nobody else is like that. But I'm mean enough I can admit it. Verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side and he gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. verse 18 is extremely important for the believer. Why am I preaching these messages? I'm preaching them because, I'm going to be very honest, I have seen, and Paul, I don't like this, I always felt like, you know, people that are raised in church, they're going to know things that the average person not raised in church doesn't know. But what I have seen, and it's trending all over, is people that I know right from wrong, that were raised in church, in God's house, I have seen them lose touch with the Lord, with reality, with what's right and what's wrong, and I have seen the devil literally march them out of the church and into a life of sin. It's in a delusional sin where they feel like it's okay. Let me explain something to you. It is hard for a pastor to deal with that because you want to help everybody and your heart aches when you see that. I used to tell Dad all the time, Dad, just get over it. That person, don't worry about it. One day he said, Kelly, I can't just do that. I understand that now. There's something different that God does to a pastor's heart where we just can't just, oh, well, with them jerks. I wish I could. I want our kids to grow up hearing some lessons and hope to God they don't have to learn them for themselves. If we can save them some grief, think about some of the most grievous moments that you've had. Don't you wish you could just tell them about them and them not have to go through them? Me too. And I'm going to tell y'all, all y'all, these three, those two back there, that one back there, this one's up here, those ones back there. I'm just going to tell you my heart of hearts, and I can speak for Dad too, and I can speak for all of us adults. I'm going to tell you what we do not want to see. We don't want to see you raised up in church and then go live like the devil when you get out from under Mama and Daddy. I can tell you there ain't nothing good apart from God. There may be pleasure in sin for a season, but you will get in that place where you hate yourself for it and you hate everything, every mistake that you made. I'm begging you not to do it. I'm begging you to stay a saved person. When all your friends want to go drink, want to do whatever, want to think that something's right that you know is wrong, I'm going to ask you to keep your good senses. May it not be held against them. I cannot tell you the pastor I would be, the person I would be, the daughter I would be, the mother I would be, the wife I would be, if I could just live this verse. If I could literally say, Paul, may it not be held against him. But there's a part in me that's very wrong, that there is something that I have trouble just saying, may it not be held against him. I'm going to ask you guys to challenge yourself while you're young to get a thought process where you don't hold grudges against people. Because it will eat at everything inside of you. It will take you to a bad place in your mind that you don't want to be. Grown-ups, am I telling them the truth? But the Lord stood at my side and He gave me strength. Here's what I can say. I've been completely transparent. I've told you what I have to wrestle to the ground every day. But here's what I can also say. This part of this verse is true. God will stand by you in every single hard moment. When nobody's left standing there, God will be there. He'll be there. You're never alone. A lot of people commit suicide because in that moment, they feel like there is nobody out there and they are alone. You're never alone. You may feel it, but it's not accurate. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God will rescue you so many times in the course of your life, but one of the things that He has done an excellent job with me at is He has rescued me from myself many, many times. He has rescued me from mistakes many, many times. He's been gracious enough and loving enough that when I made mistakes, He was there to help me pick up my own mess. One of the most important things for this ministry is to develop people that will just be honest. Be honest. Be honest with what you're going through. If you're having trouble forgiving people, if you're keeping that record of wrongs, just ask God, Lord, take my record book. I put it in Your hands. It's hard to let it go because there's a part of you that will always feel like they got away with it. And I have lived long enough to know this right here. Nobody gets away with anything. When the Word of God promises, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. You don't have to repay anything because God promises to do that. And not only does He promise to do it, but God, He knows exactly how to repay. And it's never how we would. We would just snuff somebody out and be like, they're done, like Survivor. You're snuffed out. End of you. God is so loving that the person that you may hate the most, God loves them just as much as He loves you. Dad, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I agree with this 100%. And I still struggle with this here. I was saved when I was 19. Right at the beginning, I was working for Ma Bell in construction, the phone company in California, and somebody said something, and it stuck with me all these years, and it wasn't good. And it just sounded like something I wanted to be, and I've had to wrestle it to the ground and get it down, and this is what it was, Kelly. The guy said, and it just sounded, it just struck me, I thought, that's the way I want to be. I was looking at this guy. He was a man. I was still looking for that. And he said, I don't get mad. He said, I get even. I've had to wrestle that down because recompense nobody evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather give place to God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know, as I begin to curb that in me, I begin to see this, just like you said. A lot of times I just had the story wrong. You ever have that happen? You thought it was one way, but when the truth was uncovered, you know, sometimes the truth has to be uncovered. It really wasn't that way. And the older I get and deal with myself, there are so many times I'm so glad I didn't show out over it. It's just not worth it. And another thing I was thinking as Pastor Kelly was speaking tonight is this. The ministry is hard. The only people that can do it are the people that are called. And what makes it hard is you want to tell the people, you want to tell the sheep the truth, And the devil says, oh, if you do that, you're gonna have to wait. I wouldn't do that if I was you. So I developed something that I still believe in today. And I'll leave you with this thought as a pastor here. And this is how we survive. We really never know how we feel about you until we've had two or three good fights. Now, I know that's cute, but it's the truth. See, if when we try to impart what the Word says and try to do it in a way that's palatable and acceptable, if Jesus Christ couldn't do it, turn to his disciples. Are you going to leave me too? That's how we feel. We don't mean to, but when you leave, we feel like you're leaving us. And God says, no, just like Kelly said, that's not quite the truth. So think about that. I'm standing in front of a cross, and every message, everything is about how we handle the power and the act of forgiveness. So many people just can't forgive themselves. They can go to the altar, they can do so, they can't forgive. Well, we have to get that out of you. We have to be part, the Holy Spirit has to get that out. And other people, and I have both at times, I just can't forget what people did. The biggest way to forget about what people did is stop talking about it. Stop talking about what people did. In the book of Isaiah, speaking on forgiveness, the Creator said this, and I will remember your sins no more. Now, what will help you the most is if you stop talking about it. Now, let's go inside. Stop replaying inside of you what somebody has done to you. You have to, you know what? The most foolish, stupid thing that I have heard, one of the top 10 is this. Well, I can't help who I fall in love with. Man, if you can't help who you fall in love with, you're going to have a terrible life. And you're going to fall in love. Look here. God has, listen to me, everybody that's single in this room, God has one person for you. The devil has many. And I'm going to tell you something. And I've told this to people, and they've come back to me and said, Pastor, you're right. I'm going to tell you something. It is not just better. It is far better to be alone than to be with the wrong blobbity blop blop. I'm telling you the truth. You're better off to be alone because you'll come out damaged and hurt. And you know, there's a song from my generation, and it says this, teach your children well. We're teaching, let's try to teach them about forgiveness, how to receive it, because if you can't forgive yourself, you're in trouble, and how to forgive others. Because if you can't forgive others, you're in trouble. And thank you for a moment. We love you. We've given everything for this here, and that's the way it should be. And there's never been a church split here. You know why? Because we have confronted the demons. And when it just gets down to it, we're just not going to have that. Thank you.
Amen. Well, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray a blessing. We're going to have a